In New York for WNYC, I'm Amy Eddings. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies cannot patent a human gene, even if they're the first ones to discover it. The decision could affect research and development of future drugs and other medical products, especially here in New York City, home to many medical and scientific research facilities. Nathan Tinker is the executive director of New York Bio, the state trade group for the biotech industry, and he joins us now to discuss the ruling. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
The Supreme Court decision revolved around the BRCA genes linked to breast cancer and a company that developed a special test for those genes. Do you think this will affect other kinds of biotech and pharmaceutical companies, the kinds that are developing drugs and therapies rather than diagnostic tests?
Well, I think it's a two-headed decision. On the one hand, the Supreme Court said you cannot patent isolated DNA, which, you know, takes a lot of work to get to in the first place. We cannot patent that gene. On the other hand, though, they did protect the diagnostics, therapeutics, and other products that may come out of that. So it's a two-headed decision.
Could today's ruling remove for companies the fear of being sued for violating a patent or having to pay royalties? Is there an upside here that one that might lead to more research?
Well, I think the key issue in that case is that as long as you have protection around your process and around your end product, it will indeed inspire innovation. And that's what we're really looking for here is innovation and the ability to continue to build therapeutics, diagnostics that are beneficial and supportive of the into the health community of the United States.
Have you heard from local companies? And if so, what are their concerns, if any?
Absolutely. You know, especially in the areas of oncology and central nervous disease, which is, you know, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, that sort of thing. Their central fear is that this will actually cause confusion in the marketplace and cause potential investors to retract from the market. And as you know, the investment from the public sector to the National Institutes of Health, National Science Foundation, FDA, et cetera, has been shrinking. So the majority of investment in this area is coming from industry. And anything that might stifle that investment is of concern to the industry.
Is part of this that in early stage research, when you're not sure if you will really get a drug to the end of the line, it's always tough to get investors, and this decision might be one more thing that could scare them off and make it hard to raise money?
Absolutely. It takes 10 to 15 years and approximately $1 billion to $1.5 billion to bring a therapy to market. And the toughest part of that process is in the early stage when companies are doing their most basic research, their most basic development. And stifling that or inhibiting that, it really hurts the potential at the end of that line for patients to have access to these therapies.
And yet, if the Supreme Court decision allows companies to hold patents on their processes, why then would the inability to hold a patent on a human gene be more likely to limit investors?
I think that's a question of education, and the issue is not so much the individual gene that is being patented. It is what is the end product that is coming out of it, and the opportunity for these companies who are interested in health and bringing products to market being stifled and inhibited by investors who don't necessarily understand the full process, but have heard that there's a patent ban on these sorts of things, but bringing them that opportunity to grow and develop these businesses.
How is the climate for raising money from investors in New York?
In New York, as in the rest of the country, in biotech, it's very difficult. Most of the investment in the biosciences comes from angel investors and early stage investors that are focused not on, long-term gains necessarily, but on bringing products to market. So it is not an easy process right now to invest in or get investment for these sorts of things. And this, may in fact inhibit that process even a little bit further.
We spoke with one venture capital investor here. He thought this ruling is the least of the challenges facing New York researchers and developers. What are some of those challenges? Do you know what he's referring to? What else gets in the way of biotech companies in terms of raising the money they need to conduct their research?
Well, bringing a product to market is, as I said, a long-term and very expensive process. The bioscience, the life science industry is the single most heavily regulated industry in the U.S. To even get to a stage, a phase two or a phase three clinical trial, there are a wide number of hurdles that you have to jump through with the FDA, with investors, et cetera, et cetera. So, bringing a product from the most early stage at the academic level to even where it's being introduced into human subjects and being tested at that level costs tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars and years of investment. And that's where, a lot of the challenge occurs, is in working through the FDA process, working through the financing process, and bringing those two together to achieve the end you're looking for.
Nathan Tinker is the Executive Director of New York Bio. Thanks so much for joining us to discuss the Supreme Court's ruling today.
Thank you very much.